Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Third and 10. Four-man rush. It's Goff throwing over the middle, and it's picked off! Jeremy Chinn! And Washington will be going to the NFC Championship for the first time in 33 years.
Tell them, Kevin Burkhart. Let them know. Grant and Danny on the Fan, welcoming you back. As promised, caller 10 right now at 800-636-1067. Congrats, you're winning a pair of tickets to see the Capitals February 1st against Winnipeg. For tickets and the complete cap schedule, go to thefandc.com. By the way, congrats to the Caps. While you guys were watching Commanders-Lions, like about 35 million other Americans were, the Caps were whooping the Penguins' ass.
Oh, that's a bummer. I feel bad for those Penguins.
Yeah, 4-1.
Oh, no.
That was a good time for all involved. So, like that. Like to see that the Penguins are not good anymore because they're old, and the Capitals have rebuilt on the fly and are the best team in hockey.
So, did the Penguins want to win that game?
They wanted to.
And they didn't get to?
They just weren't good enough to.
Oh, I hate to see that.
Yeah, that's the way that it goes. NFC Championship game this Sunday. In addition to having the best hockey team in all of the NHL here in D.C., we also have one of the four best football teams, apparently. We didn't know it, but we do.
It's normal stuff. Right
so, on. NFC title game. Listen to it right here on The Fan. Ian Eagle on the call with Kurt Warner, Ross Tucker, Westwood One. We've got the game right here at 3 o'clock. On 106.7 The Fan. But let's get to the Rude Guest Hotline right now and welcome on the show Todd Jacob. I saw a thread that he had put together on social media where he did a deep dive and did some research on basically Jaden Daniels' VR training and why other teams need to start using it. So first of all, Todd, welcome to the show. Thanks for a few minutes. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on. By the way, I just want to say that I am also one of those OGs. I remember watching my 91 Redskins, and that special year. And so it's been pretty painful over the last three decades.
Oh, so you get to enjoy this too, brother. So,
well, before I ask you then about the piece we brought you on for, Danny and I have debated this for years, but I want to get your thoughts. What was basically worse or harder if you were around when they won and you experienced it, which was awesome, but then you had to go through the bad times? Or if you're like me and people my age who weren't old enough to remember that, and so you only ever had the bad times.
Yeah, I think it was pretty painful knowing what we were, the glory days of Coach Gibbs and all that good stuff, and then seeing what we've become. I'm very grateful that the Dan Snyder curse has been lifted.
Yeah, there's a lot of us that feel that way, my friend. So Todd, let's get to this this brilliant thread on a huge game changing. You hear that phrase all the time. People talk about game changing things in sports or game changing players or whatever. Every once in a while, it's right though, and it seems like there's going to be a before and after. A crazy set of circumstances led to the way Jaden Daniels trained and a bunch of differences in his career. Go into it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, it's interesting. I think, I like everyone else, we sit there and we watch Jaden Daniels and what he's capable of. Everyone talks about his poise in the pocket and how he's able to perform at such a high level as a rookie. Well, I started kind of digging a little bit more into his past and his time at Arizona State before he then after he struggled some and he transferred over to LSU. And then, of course, when he had his big Heisman Trophy year, what he's doing is unique from what anyone else is out there is doing. I think I'm surprised it's not bigger news than what it already is. I think, going into the next couple of years here probably will be. But, he spends at least 2 hours a day, every single day, with a virtual reality headset on. Now, a lot of people, have pointed out to me that have commented on my thread that, Casey Keenum used this technology 10 years ago. This all started, I guess, at Stanford many years ago. And there's a lot of other teams and players using this technology, but it's very different from what Jaden Daniels is currently using. And I can go into that a little bit more if you'd like.
Yes, we would. I want to start kind of at the beginning because you mentioned it felt like he was at a career crossroads even before launching right into the program, right?
Yeah, no, 100%. You know, he suffered from a lot. You know, during the COVID years, a few years ago, he lost both of his grandparents. So obviously there were some psychological tolls that took on him. And, you know, his quarterback coach, Joe Sloan at LSU, even said at one point that Jaden Daniels was an average or maybe a slightly above average quarterback. You know, certainly no one saw him, you know, being taken as the second pick overall and then even performing at the level that he's performing at now. As a matter of fact, a lot of people took him as a third or fourth round pick. So he was struggling quite a bit. And I won't say that VR was, you know, the sole factor that got him to the next level, but it certainly played a major, major role in it. And he'll even attest to that himself.
Yeah. So and Todd, I want to jump into kind of the story, but for folks that think it's somehow like discrediting Daniels, I want to be very clear that it's not at all. Like, I could watch all the VR I wanted to. I can't do that. You know what I mean? Like, there's got to be some innate ability and drive and desire to kind of relentlessly self-improve. But go into the story of, again, kind of the before and after, because everybody, for folks that don't know, if you're in a college athletic department like LSU or, you know, in the NFL, there's billions of businesses trying to get their foot in the door where this electrolyte bath or this special shampoo will give you energy or this athlete's foot cure also makes you jump higher. There's nothing but waves of information and stuff out there for people trying to sell the next big thing. Somehow this one breaks through. Tell the story.
Yeah, so this company, they're actually based out of Germany. They're called Cognalize, and they had initially developed this technology for soccer players over in Europe. And for whatever reason, it wasn't working out for them. The company themselves, they were even struggling and almost ready to throw in the towel. And then for whatever reason, they decided to shift over to American football. And, you know, I'm sure they had reached out to many different athletic programs and all the different universities and professional teams across the country. But somehow they got in front of Jack Marucci, who was the athletic trainer and director of performance innovation at LSU, and somehow made his way through probably thousands of emails or, you know, like you said, they're all being solicited daily for the next big breakthrough technology for their players. But somehow these two connected and got in front of the athletic crew over at LSU, as well as Jaden Daniels. And they spent the entire year of 2023 with a beta testing of this technology. It was far from being ready, but they actually built out this product side by side along with this company.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. Okay, so I think it was week three of 23. You just mentioned the 23 season that you said that he put on the headset and strapped it on for the first time, and then he was going to play Mississippi State. He had this gigantic performance, threw for 360, had four incompletions, four touchdowns, 400-plus yards of offense. And I think that was kind of the beginning of the legend as far as LSU and the marriage with Daniels and the VR set, and he started singing its praises. He was a quick believer. But what does he actually see? Like, how does it work? How do they use it? To me, the element that you got into that blew me away was the speed part, where he actually turns up the speed so that the defenses that he's going to play on Sunday are slower than what he actually has to adjust to on VR.
Yeah, and that's what's unique about this one company, Cognalize, that compared to the other VR tools out there that, you know, Case Keenum and some other NFL players have used in the past, is that with this technology, they're able to dial up the speed to 1.75, so almost double time. He's able to go through, read through all his progressions, see the whole play out from start to finish. His coach is in his ear talking to him, seeing everything that he's seen. And what's interesting is that, you know, they were interviewing LSU quarterback coach Joe Sloan, and he said that by accident, you know, they were running it at this 1.75 speed. By accident, they dropped it down to normal time, to regular speed, and Jaden looked up and said, "What just happened? Did you guys put it in slow motion or what?" And he was actually seeing it in just normal speed. So just imagine when he's out there on the field, he's seeing things in real time. But, you know, for him, he's already seen it at double speed. I think it's interesting when you watch the Commanders play, you'll see them in that hurry up offense, that no huddle offense a lot. Right. And I've even heard a few commentators joke and say, well, you know, the defense has substitutions coming in. Right. It's not like they can, you know, run the play. Why are they even running a no huddle? And I think, to be honest with you, knowing this about him now, I think it's because he wants to get up to the line of scrimmage. He wants to see everything lined up, and he's doing what he does in his reps on virtual reality. You know, as he's pretending like he's sitting out there in the field with these VR goggles, and he's able to visualize the play all coming together.
Todd Jacob with us here on Grant and Danny. Wrote a great piece available on Twitter at the Todd Jacob about the VR headset and kind of the fork in the road here at Jaden Daniels' career going back a few years. What do you think it says about the player that he was willing to do it? I think this is an underrated part of it here for me, Todd. Like, you know, a lot of guys that are major D1 players, he's probably already a millionaire with NIL and you know, kind of everything else that have happened over the years. And the willingness to say, I'll do this extra thing that nobody else is doing. It usually, you know, the first person out of the breach there gets ridiculed an awful lot, and teammates are making fun because you got these weird goggles on. But what does it say about the guy that he's going, yeah, I'll embrace that, and now swears by it?
Yeah, I think it speaks volumes about him. You know, what made Tom Brady great, right? It was the extra work that he put in. You know, he was the first one in and the last person out of the film room. Right. I think that this speaks directly to his work ethic. The fact that he was not in the position where he wanted to be. He was not playing at the caliber that he knew he could play to. So he said, hey, what other tools are out there? What else is available to me? And apparently, from my understanding, after that first game where he did so well, after using them, he kept going back to the coaches and say, hey, I want to get more time in with that VR tool. He was constantly going back to it. And, you know, the fact that when he met with the Commanders, that was almost a condition for him to say, hey, if you're going to draft me, please, you've got to invest into this VR tool. So, you know, if you think about all the quarterbacks that come into this league, they're all top-notch, you know, collegiate-level players and even some Heisman winners. They come into the NFL and the game is just playing at a speed that they cannot keep up with. They've got to think of everything from, you know, the pre-snap variables and all the post-snap decisions, and the game is moving at such a fast pace. Well, he said, hey, going into the NFL, I need to be prepared for this. So I think the fact that he was committed to this, it speaks volumes of his character.
Todd, the technology is unbelievable. You're talking about the ability to track where his eyes are with the VR to see where he looked, where he didn't. Stadium-specific details that are down to where the scoreboard's located. I remember him saying something to the effect that he kind of knew where to look for the play clock before he even went out on the field for pregame warm-up somewhere this year because of the VR exercise that he'd done. Every defensive scheme that you might see is eligible to be used in the device. Play calls from your coach, if they want to record, I'm guessing, in their voice, you could probably do something like that, which is amazing. I mean, go into maybe some of the technology here and then how it actually works in terms of, like, how do they call what defense they want as against his offense, or how does all that work?
Yeah, so it's actually pretty fascinating. So what they will do is every single week, and this started back in LSU and even now with the Commanders, they're able to look at whoever their opponent is to say, hey, you know, we're going up against the Eagles this week. And obviously we've already played them twice before, but, you know, knowing that they play a two safety high, you know, they're going to go in there and take everything about the Eagles defense. They're going to send it over to this company, Cognilize, and they are going to upload it. It's not just the VR goggles that you're wearing. It's the software within it, right? So you mentioned the eye tracking software. Is he looking in the right areas? They're going to put in there not just the plays and the routes and everything, but they're going to see, he can see in hit through his goggles what each one of these players are. So if you think about pass concepts, you know, with your receivers, for example, you've got your hang versus your rip. You know, he knows that, hey, if I'm looking at this one receiver, if I'm looking at McLaurin over here, I know that I'm going to be hanging out in the pocket waiting for his route to develop, right? He's seeing all these things over and over and over again. And like you mentioned, stadium specific. Right now, as he's going through and doing these drills on these VR headsets, he's not practicing in just some random field. He's actually practicing in Lincoln Financial Field right now as we speak. So he knows exactly where the play clock is. They can even replicate the sound. So everyone talks about how loud it was in Detroit, how it didn't faze him a bit, and that's a big reason why.
Absolutely amazing. So then the last thing before we let you go is, how many teams are using this with their young or just quarterbacks in general? And why is this not something that's ubiquitous in the game? Daniels basically told the Commanders he wanted it, right?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that was almost, you know, a condition for him. You know, he said, hey, I want to come play for you guys, but this is, I mean, this is a crucial part of me being successful. You know, I know that other teams in NFL are using some virtual reality tools. I know that they even use them for other positions. For example, you know, they can use it for their running backs. You know, the running backs can learn the proper protection calls and blitz pickups. You know, offensive linemen, safeties, linebackers, all these different positions they use them for. I know that the Tampa Bay Bucks are using another VR platform. I just don't think that to the level of what this one platform out of Germany has done with LSU and the Commanders and Jaden Daniels specifically is able to do everything that he's doing. He's essentially built this product alongside with them, giving them direct feedback and telling him exactly what he wants in this product. But I can only imagine in the next couple of years, other teams aren't going to be looking out for this exact same platform themselves. Because to me, it's not just an advantage. It's a competitive edge that, you know, allows – if you think about watching film and what that does for players, this is watching film on steroids. So why would you not want it for your quarterback, especially your young quarterbacks that are still developing?
Todd, really enjoyed the thread. I thought it was really informative. If you don't mind taking it down, though, I don't want anyone else to know about it. Like, our guy's doing it right now, but, like, the rest of the league might start, and I don't want that. Can we just keep it ours?
Yeah.
Appreciate you, buddy. Thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you, guys.
Thanks, Todd. It's good stuff.
Todd Jacob on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. That, to me, while not the entire story, probably not even the majority of the story, invaluable, clearly, because he says that it is a game changer. He says this is one of the reasons I'm most successful. So whether that's true or not, automatically, it matters because he thinks it's
yeah,
true.
In his brain, it matters to him. So,
but
yeah.
Also, how could it not be? If the tech is as good as what he's describing, and basically he is watching the game before the game, it also seems like an amazing exercise to be able to use technology to play these things out at 1.75 speed. It's true. When I listen to a podcast or something, I always listen to like 1.5, 1.7 sometimes if I'm doing something or it's not a particularly fast talker or whatever. And then when I start listening on one, it literally sounds like,
going, oh my God, hurry up.
It's like, how does anyone listen to this ever? I could imagine that that's what seeing the field becomes. There was a game, it was referenced by, wasn't Brady, who was the analyst this weekend, that Romo, I think, who talked about Jaden Daniels getting through four reads and throwing the ball out of bounds. Like, boom, 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 throw the ball away. And he said, as a rookie, that's just, you can't do that. You know, that just doesn't happen. It's a mastery, essentially, of a concept. And he saw it when they were here calling that Bears Hail Mary game. He mentioned it yesterday. But you know how you can get to that point, maybe, is if you're normally operating at 1.8 speed, and now the game is at 1. Like, I do buy that this is a real thing.
100%.
That completely changed his career and has helped to make him the savant that he's become.
Yeah, there's a before and after. I mean, you look at the in this thread, Todd outlines it. There's a moment before where he was fine, perfectly solid, decent enough college quarterback with great athleticism. Then he starts, and then he tears it up. Then he puts up video game numbers. So there's whether it's 100% because of this or he thinks it's because of this. I mean, remember the speech from Bull Durham. If you think you're winning because you're breathing out of your eyelids or you're wearing women's underwear, you are. Whatever it is that works, it absolutely works, and it's unlocked something in his brain, and it stands to reason. Because I've heard of guys, to Todd's point, that have – guys were doing this at Stanford a decade ago. Case Keenum had, like, virtual reality, like a MetaQuest on his head or whatever, you know, looking at somebody's defense or picture of something, visualized more so than, like, you know, just a printout that you're looking at on the sidelines. Different. This is a whole other level, and that's kind of the point here. The input that goes into it, a.k.a. the scoreboard, the crowd noise, the different formations and alignments, the data and software is what separates this from the normal, hey, I'm holding a sword in my hand, and I'm a knight at the round table, like my son's MetaQuest is. It's a different animal.
It's breathtaking technology, and I'm glad if he decided this is something I need, that he made it a priority and told the team as much.
And the team that refused to do analytics, by the way, is like, yep, we'll do the VR thing. Talking about Washington for years. Remember under Bruce Allen, they were like,
that used to avoid.
Yeah,
yes,
we're like, we're not doing any of that stuff. And it's like now,
I was like, this group doesn't like it. No.
Whatever the opposite is, we'll lean in.
Yep. Well, now they're all in on whatever they need to be to win football games, which is nice. All right, Darius, give me a little game show music. So, Danny, prepare for tomorrow. I want to go back and forth.
Okay.
But I thought this could be just a fun way for people to get some cathartic energy out here.
Mm-hmm.
We have overcome so much together collectively as a fan base over these 30 years that we could go back and forth until someone runs out. Times that you felt you're most mortified and embarrassed. So, an example, swinging gate. You would respond with?
The time I was at Hill Country in New York watching the Eagles run up the score and down in the McNabb ran out of end zone dances, doing the Michael Jackson stuff.
Bingo caller calling plays.
The second federal investigation into Dan Snyder. Not the first one, but the second one.
The DEA raiding the building at 5 in the afternoon while the head coach was getting his car washed.
Oh, my God.
Who also happened to be the general manager.
Oh, my God. When they were going to hire Jim Fossil and the blogosphere freaked out, so they didn't hire Jim Fossil and they hired Jim Zorn, who was already in the building as the offensive coordinator, because they hired the OC first before they hired the head coach.
5-11. Not very good.
Spurrier quitting from the golf course.
It's pretty good. I'll give you another. Well, it's your turn, I suppose.
I don't know whose turn it is.
Saddle up, because I want to do that tomorrow until we run out. Okay? So if you want to do some brainstorming between now and then, you can go for it. Quick story I just wanted to tell about how much things have changed from an ownership standpoint. I am laying in my bed sick on Saturday. Can't go to the game, obviously. I got a text first thing Saturday morning from a member of the ownership group out of the blue.
Oh.
Hey, man, really hope you're feeling better and are able to come to the game.
Come on.
Not joking. I responded, shocked. Hey, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to come to the game. Can't travel. I came down with the flu. So, bummer, I'll miss the biggest game in 33 years, but go get them kind of thing. To which they responded, we got all the more reason now to have to play one more game so you can cover an NFC championship game next week. Get better.
Imagine a break in the locker room. You guys.
Right.
You got to win this one for Jeeps.
But can you imagine?
No, I can't.
And then after the game, so now you're celebrating.
Yes.
Your team is on to the next, to the NFC championship game. About an hour after the game, amid the celebration and the drinks being poured, I'm sure. See you in Philly or LA. These people are just different. They are decent. The juxtaposition of this is that a media member had a legitimate medical emergency in Ashburn many, many years ago in the media room and had to be rushed by stretcher, I believe, in an ambulance to the hospital. And the way the story is told, and again, I don't know this to be true, so I don't want anybody suing me, but the way that the story went, the person gets taken out, and not long after that, a member of ownership came in and basically said, did someone die? Like, did that guy die in here? Where is he? Did he die yet? Was like kind of the what was the takeaway of what they had said. This is the ownership group that allegedly, and we could tell other stories, but would purposefully just like, go get milkshakes and
fast food,
Baconators to make the media lethargic and slow so that they didn't feel like they wanted to be active that day and on the ball and try to go get stories or anything. What a time.
What a time.
To be alive. I just thought that was the nicest thing in the world.
That's incredible, by the way.
So amazing.
Like, not to overstate that, because, of course, it's about the team, it's about them, yeah. But the point is that...
My point, by the way, is not to say, that, like, make this about me in any way. I hope that doesn't sound like what I'm doing. I'm trying to put light on... This person got nothing out of that.
Sure.
I can't imagine they would have thought I would say anything on the air or whatever, but it's just the decency of, obviously, someone that either, by way of social media or listening to the show, said, oh, he's sick, that's too bad. I don't know them that well. Like, hey, I hope you get to cover the game today. Knowing you've been covering games since you were 10 in 1999, it's a pretty big one. But like, for ownership at that level on their day, the biggest day of their year, tell me this group isn't different.
Right, because here's the thing. Let's say you don't get that text. You're still excited. You're still going to the game. You're still doing all the different things.
Nothing changes.
Right? There's nothing. And that's the point, is there's nobody's watching. That's not a... Hey, I'm going to do a big show here. Turn the cameras on me. Let's make sure everyone knows I'm doing this. That's not what that is. That's just being decent. That's, you know.
The world has changed, my friend.
That's a great dichotomy to just, you know, not that long ago, right? That's a great sort of one side and then the other.
Whether true or not, the story that goes around of someone walking in going, did that guy die in here? Versus... same role, essentially, when someone's under the weather and not feeling well. Man, we got to win this game. That way you can cover a more important one next week. Just slightly different, I would say, tone in terms of how you view your media.
Yeah, there's a difference there.
Wow. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Big thanks to Dara. Solo duty today. How about it?
Oh, that.
For Dad. Biggest day for the show in many, many years. He's doing a bunch of jobs by himself. We appreciate that. Doc Walker has Doc for Time, I believe we're calling
it. Docker Time.
Doc Walker Vertime. It's Doc Overtime?
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Yep. With Doc.
The doctor's office
is open for
business.
Yep.
Overtime.
Overtime business.
With the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Get your situation checked out.
Yes.
By Doc Walker.
That's it.
Overtime.
And Washington will be going to the NFC Championship for the first time in 33 years.
Thank you for coming.